From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're live, ladies and gentlemen, Sunday, the 11th day of April, 2010. We're going to be here for the next 2 hours live. We're going to have open phones as well at 888-201-2244 to get involved on air, 888-201-2244. Okay, this is all fresh news here in front of me. I took off Thursday and Friday to be with my family and work on spring cleaning around the hacienda, but did a lot of research in my downtime there. We're going to be going over all of it today. My take on roughly half of the upper echelon leadership of Poland dying in that plane crash yesterday. We are also going to be getting into the fact that CNN and MSNBC are now equating Confederate soldiers with terrorists and now demonizing our military, claiming they could be terrorists. As they move into this phase of using Homeland Security against the American people and declaring anyone that doesn't want government-run health care, anyone that doesn't want open borders, anyone that doesn't want a world government, anyone that doesn't want the banks looting us as terrorists. So we're going to be going over all of that today. Also, Ohio official tells residents to arm themselves amid police cuts. Finally, some county leaders in this country, they're telling the public the truth. No matter how many police you've got, Chicago and New York have more than any other cities in the U.S. per capita. They have the highest crime rates. That it's not the police's job, nor can they protect you from crime. It's your job to go out and buy guns. What's amazing about this short piece we're going to play later from local television there in this county in Ohio is that everybody ran out and bought guns and got gun training as soon as the police told them to buy guns. Why would you need the sheriff's department to tell you that it's your job to protect yourself to have you go out and buy guns? That is some of what we'll be discussing. We have Volcker, the head of Obama's economic team. We have the head of the private Federal Reserve, Bernanke, and others calling for carbon taxes, VAT taxes, and massive tax increases to, quote, get our financial house in order, when it's these very same private central banks that have engineered the implosion that we're in right now. And amazingly, we have a video. MSNBC's Rattigan remarkably tells the truth about bankster scam. We're going to play a clip of that. It's an 11-minute clip that we have linked up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, but I'm just going to play the first 2.5 minutes coming back in the next segment, where Rattigan specifically lays out that the healthcare takeover was a government robbery for private corporations, insurance companies, and banks, that tens of trillions have been stolen by the banks, that it's a mafia, that it's all staged. I don't know how MSNBC is letting this guy get up on TV and tell the truth like this. The only other person I know of that is doing this is, Ron Paul, but he doesn't have a TV show every day, the congressman, and, of course, Judge Andrew Napolitano, who's just a contributor on Fox. But just amazing to see this happening. That's a question we could ask listeners. Why are they allowing the truth to be said on television? Is it that TV is losing so many of their ratings that they're desperate to tell the truth to try to retain some credibility and some modicum of viewership? That is coming up today as well. And also, the last few days, came across a bunch of mainstream articles about how deadly the flu vaccine is and other vaccines the population is being given. And driving into work today on the local affiliate that carries my show here in Austin, 590 AM, KLBJ, I heard Dr. Dina Dell just up there saying vitamins are bad for you. All the drugs companies push are good. All the vaccines are good. It's a conspiracy theory if you say they aren't. When every day, 800,000 dosages of kids H1N1 vaccine recalled. MSNBC. H1N1 spread linked to seasonal flu shots. Yeah, the shots are giving it to you. That's 4 government studies out of Canada. Chinese vaccine scare revives product safety fears. The Times of India. CNN. Feds found Pfizer too big to nail, knowing one of their drugs was killing people. It's all coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live, my friends. Thank you so much for joining us. It is Sunday, the 11th day of April, 2010. We're going to be live here for the next 2 hours. And then, of course, we come back weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central. That's 12 noon to 4 p.m. Eastern. Okay, let me run down the news we're going to cover in the next 2 hours. Volcker, carbon tax, VAT should be on the table. Wall Street Journal, that's the head of Obama's economic team. Here's another one from AFP. U.S. faces difficult tax choices, says Bernanke. He says they need trillions more, and then they won't tell the public where the money goes once they steal it. Meanwhile, Ron Paul won the all-important CPAC, the only person in the history of the big Republican convention that they have every year is Ronald Reagan. So he has the second most votes ever in a straw poll at the big Republican event this weekend down in New Orleans at the Southern Republican Convention. Congressman Ron Paul got second place to Mitt Romney with only one vote away from being first place. Eyeing another presidential bid, Texas Republican Ron Paul is telling Republican activists that the American people have awoken because Washington won't address the nation's fiscal crisis. Paul ran for the GOP presidential nomination in 08. He spoke Saturday to the Southern Republican Leadership Conference, a so-called cattle call for potential presidential candidates. He got second place, only losing by 1 point. Why do I bring that up? Ron Paul, here he is in the Wall Street Journal, says Barack Obama is not a socialist. He is a corporatist. And that's the big, dirty secret here. Socialist is bad. Corporatist even worse. What did Benito Mussolini say in 1932? He said we should not be called fascist. We should be called corporatist. We're a select group of mega corporations use government to take over the economy, use regulators to shut down their competition, use government to force citizens to buy their products and to create cartels and monopolies. Because we've got Newt Gingrich all over the news this weekend saying Obama is the most radical president in U.S. history. Well, the most radical things in modern history that are unconstitutional are happening right now in the United States. But there's nothing radical about Barack H. Obama compared to Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich called for global carbon taxes. Newt Gingrich called for unbridled executive power. Newt Gingrich called for the banker bailouts. But he thinks you're going to forget that, and he plans to run for president in 2011 into 2012. Obama isn't some communist being run out of Moscow. Obama got more money, four times the money, from Wall Street than John McCain did. Again, we're not saying John McCain's good. The point is they were both bought and paid for, and the clear winner, the clear person the establishment wanted was Obama, a slick Harvard lawyer reading off of a teleprompter and going along with Bush on the $28-plus trillion robbery that has happened since the banks were given unlimited power to take over our society. And so if we sit here as libertarians or conservatives or people that want smaller government and who don't like corruption and say this is some communist takeover, that's what the bankers want. They do not want you to hear what Ron Paul has to say or what I have to say or what Dylan Radigan on MSNBC is saying, that the insurance companies wrote the government takeover bill on record. I had Ron Paul on Monday. Towards the end of the show, I'm going to play a short clip before he talks about this is corporate takeover. This is fascism. Dylan Radigan on Friday. I mean, I cannot believe this type of truth is on national television. I'm going to play a short clip of it in a moment. But when Gingrich calls banker puppet Obama most radical president in American history, this is complete make-believe. Obama is horrible. He clearly is an Indonesian citizen. He's not eligible to be president. He's a fraud. He's anti-American, but he is a puppet. And what the system does is they get us trained to get angry at the puppet. And then when the puppet gets taken out in 4 years, they put a new group of puppets in. We have to be based on issues. We have to be based on facts. We have to be based on the Constitution and be constitutionalist. And then when we're focused on the real issues and not Rick Perry's hair or Sarah Palin's cleavage, when we're focused not on Barack Obama's chestnut skin and his handsome cheekbones, but on his actions, then this whole takeover will implode, ladies and gentlemen. Then this fraud will disintegrate. When we stop looking at the packaging, whether it's an old white man or a woman, it doesn't matter. It's the character of their deeds. It's the fruits. It is by their fruits that you will know them. The left right now thinks they've had a big victory and they're about to get free health care. In fact, I saw an article Wednesday and I forgot to cover it. Confusion over health care. Where's the free care? Confusion over free health care. That was AP. The people are saying, where's my free health care? You're not going to get free health care. They're going to cut Medicare and Medicaid, lower the quality you get, and then put you on that and force blue-collar people to buy overpriced insurance. 30 million new customers. That's why anybody who's read the bill or read the lobbying points or saw the numbers that came out last week that from Congress that 94% of the lobbying money spent by Big Pharma, by HMOs, and by the big insurance companies, the health insurance companies, 94% was spent to pass the bill. That's why Warren Buffett, who owns stock in more than 10 major insurance companies, that's the main business of Berkshire Hathaway. Why do you think he lobbied for it? Why do you think he spent millions? Why do you think he got up on television and said how great it was? Because as John D. Rockefeller the first said, competition is a sin. The biggest fortunes are made through government contracts and corporate welfare. And that's all Obama did. A Republican could have never gotten away with this. But by coming out, acting like he's a communist, having half of his cabinet praise Mao Zedong and Fidel Castro, and having Fidel Castro praise them, it gives the illusion that communism and socialism is some type of grassroots wealth redistribution. It is not a wealth redistribution to the poor people from the haves. It is the elite robbing the middle class and then giving a little bit of chicken feed to the lower echelons. And I know we talk about this a lot, but if we do not become fully awake to this true paradigm, it's over. In fact, I sent the guys a Gary Allen quote in the IMs from None Dare Call a Conspiracy. Well, will you guys print that off again for me? Because I want to be able to read that quote. It's one of the last quotes I sent you in the IM this morning. I want to be able to read from that quote when we come back to be able to break this down. Then we're going to get into just a few minutes of MSNBC's Dylan Radigan remarkably tells the truth about bankster scam. If you want to watch the whole video, it's 11 minutes long. It's posted up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And after I finish up with what the bankers are doing, how they're calling for all these new taxes, how the people have to face the truth and realize this is a organized criminal looting that's taking place right now, I'm going to get into CNN article equates Confederate soldiers with terrorists. And another one, corporate media connects Houthi members to U.S. military. So, as I've been telling you, they're going to demonize gun owners, conservatives, libertarians, returning veterans. They're going to demonize anybody who isn't a globalist, who isn't for world government, and they are going to stage violent provocations and events in this country in the coming months as a pretext to try to discredit anyone speaking up against government corruption. This is called a false flag or self-inflicted wound. And now the government paid for anarchists are saying this month they're going to be invading all the Tea Party rallies. In fact, I've got one of the flyers, one of the big anarchist groups put out where they said, have racist signs, call for violence, pose as a Tea Partier to make them look bad. I mean, this is amazing information that is going on here. And we have to understand that the globalists are able to do this because the people aren't aware of these tricks. We'll be right back after this quick break, cracking the code, exposing the globalist paradigm, how they manipulate and control our minds. We'll be right back. if we allow the establishment to set the parameters of debate and say, oh, you conservatives or libertarians or constitutionalists or Tea Party people, you just don't want poor people to get health care, they will end up winning. But if we tell the truth and explain that the insurance companies, the precious big corporations that Republicans are always defending, wrote this legislation, we can overturn it. It's discriminatory. It cuts care. The socialists out there at the grassroots need to understand there's no such thing as a free lunch. The only time government gives you something for free is because they want to set the precedent to rob another group in society. Now, I want to read you a quote of one of the late Congressman Larry McDonald's associates, who wrote the best-selling book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. If one understands that socialism is not a share the wealth program, but is in reality a method to consolidate and control the wealth, then the seeming paradox of super rich men promoting socialism becomes no paradox at all. Instead, it becomes logical. Even the perfect tool of power-seeking megalomaniacs. Communism, or more accurately, socialism, is not a movement of the downtrodden masses, but of the economic elite. And what did Ron Paul say over the weekend? He pointed out that Obama is a corporatist, that he is not even a socialist. And of course, Ron Paul is against socialism, but he understands that it is the elite funding and financing this to control society. They don't want new wealth. They don't want middle classes rising up. The U.S. has been one of the only countries in history with a large middle class. It was the engine of liberty, the engine of wealth. But the elites don't want that. Take Mexico. Forbes reported this year that they have more billionaires in Mexico per capita than the U.S. does. Only 100 million people down there versus 300 million. They have more billionaires than the most wealthy country in the world. They also have one of the poorest populations. Incredible wealth is derived from monopolies and cartels. Now, I'm going to get into the banking situation because the banks are taking over the planet. They're announcing world government to be run by private banks. No more denial about this. This is the facts. And all the yuppies and people that think they shouldn't get involved or that everything's going to be okay, things are not going to be okay if you don't get up off your hind end and wake up to what's really happening. But I wanted to play a short clip of Dylan Ratigan describing what the Federal Reserve is doing and explaining the scam. And then he even mentions the truth about health care being a scam and a wealth transfer to the elites, not a giveaway program to the poor. Here's that clip.
Well, in America today, we are getting closer to fully exposing the greatest con and cover-up in the history of this country. It involves our banks, the Federal Reserve, our Congress, and of course, you and me. First, though, think of the Fed as the godfather in this con.
I'm going to make him an awfully can of you. Just go outside, enjoy yourself.
The role of the godfather, played by former Fed Chief Alan Greenspan, who appeared before the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission this morning, denying that he ever knew what he helped perpetrate.
The notion that we in any way favored any of them or basically were influenced with respect to policy by what they said, other than the facts they gave us, which we always evaluated, I saw no evidence of that in my tenure.
And he may not have had favorite among the banks because Greenspan was working for all of the banks against you. The bankers, of course, the unrepentant con men being supported by the Federal Reserve.
She picked him clean. He never missed it.
Remember that sting experience? How good you felt?
So good getting that money for free, getting away with it. Here's how the con went down. The bankers were operating under an implicit guarantee from the godfather, the Federal Reserve, in the form of guaranteed low interest rates, guaranteed cheap money exclusively for the con men. Then Chairman Greenspan, the godfather, would agree to hold those rates, let's say 2% for as far as the eye could see. The banks, or bankers, the con men, would borrow that money from the Federal Reserve, let's say 2%, and then turn around and lend it back to you at, let's say, 6%. That encouraged the patsies, you and me, to be drawn into the con because 6% looks like a pretty low rate. Low rates for houses, low rates for cars. Heck, you can join a health club, pay, make that on payments. They'll turn that into bonds. And, of course, promises of a higher than average return for those managing teachers and policemen's and judges' pension funds that are buying into the con as well. And here exactly is where the con comes in. As you and I both know, the banks had no money. They were getting it from the Federal Reserve, which is us. It's funny money. They had no capital to back up their lending. But that did not matter because they also had no risk in the lending. If the lending paid off, they win. And they won big when they did that because they did it with leverage. Top Manhattan executives alone paid themselves $121 billion in bonuses over the first part of the decade. Now, mind you, when the bank loans failed, they knew they were too big to fail. So the rest of us, you and me, would have to bail them out. The ignorant electorate, if you will, the patsies, who had no idea and really still don't understand how badly they are being conned by our government and our banks. Once the banks, however, realized there was no losing, the question was, how do we make the con bigger? How do we get more money through this crazy machine so we can get richer? The question, or the answer, I should say, is simple. Make more loans, more credit card loans. Think of all the credit card applications that were sent to you over the past 10 years. More car loans, it's the reason general.
Then he goes into how the health care bill just makes 30-plus million people go buy insurance from insurance companies themselves owned by the banks as a new way to get more money while they cut the standard of care. It's incredible. That's just a small clip of it. I want to give credit where credit is due. So now we're to the point of the same private central banks who bought up all the real resources as the Ponzi scheme was being inflated, now coming in and saying, we're going to kill the economy if you don't continue to give us trillions and trillions of dollars to do with whatever we wish every year. So they're holding us hostage. Remember a year and a half ago during October 2008, the Congress wouldn't pass it. They were getting 1,000-to-1 phone calls against the banker bailout. It wasn't a bailout. It was a takeover. And they said, we will have martial law. We will have a depression if you don't do this. The market went down over 2,000 points. And so Congress went ahead and passed it. Now they're back and they're saying the economy is going to die. They're not going to cut the size of government. They're just going to cut the services. The government's going to get bigger, but most of the government spending will be on interest to the debt to the bankers that got the money out of nothing, out of thin air. And so here's the Wall Street Journal, Volcker, carbon tax, VAT, should be on the table. And he says the only way to get our economy out of the problem we have is to pass a value-added tax, national sales tax, and carbon tax. Well, Newt Gingrich is promoting the carbon tax. What is he doing then criticizing Obama when Obama's chief financial expert who runs it for the White House, the head of his economic committee, is calling for it? Here's another one. U.S. faces difficult tax choices, says Bernanke. So the bankers that have robbed us are now saying we're going to raise all these new taxes on top of the health care taxes, on top of the income taxes, on top of all the unfunded mandates to the states that is in the health care bill, and they're just getting started. We'll be right back. We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. This has happened throughout history over and over again. The international arm of the private Federal Reserve System, the IMF and World Bank, the quasi-governmental holding companies, have bankrupted third world nations over and over and over again. They do not want free market. They do not want a middle class. They do not want you living well. They want to run your life. And this is happening to Western Europe. It's happening to Greece. It's happening to Iceland. It's happening to Canada. It's happening to all of our nations. An open world government. This is covered in Fall of the Republic that came out 3 months ago. It's covered in Invisible Empire that premieres at PrisonPlanet.tv, our new film, 18 Months in the Making, coming up on the 15th, on Thursday. In their own words saying a planetary government run by the private central banks, they have captured our governments. They have gotten our governments in debt to them. It's all made up out of nothing. It is a total fraud. This is the main issue. I had Ron Paul on last week live with us. And I brought up this fact that the healthcare takeover was really a corporate fascist takeover and wasn't even socialism, and that's bad enough. And the congressman agreed with me. Here's part of that exchange. And, you know, Dennis Kucinich, before he flip-flopped, and others said this was nothing but a boondoggle for the insurance companies. And I've looked at the lobbying numbers. 90-plus percent of the big healthcare HMO insurance companies, drug companies, 90-plus percent of the lobbying money went for this bill. So isn't that a... Isn't this a red herring when they say, oh, the right-wingers just don't want poor people to get care? I mean, really all this is government coming in, teamed up with corporations to basically lower the standard of care but make more money?
I think that's absolutely right. We don't have the classical socialized medicine. We're not on the verge of having that. I don't even think Obama was pushing it. He was pushing for corporate medicine. You know, he was not to destroy the insurance companies. They might have complained a bit to get their best deal, but they're pretty happy right now. You know, they have a lot more customers, the bills will be paid, and they'll do quite fine. But we have the corporations get involved, and you know, we talked a lot about the military industrial complex. There's a a medical industrial complex too. You know, all the big corporations and governments. And they do spend a lot of money, you know, on lobbying. So there's some big bucks made. And we've conditioned, somehow or another, our country has been conditioned to believe that medicine is different. You deliver medicine and the world does it better. The government has to do it. Everybody has a right to medical care. So therefore, the government has to give you this right to take care of it. And we're not even close to changing that attitude. Matter of fact, when I say that on TV, it sort of shocks people. What? You're saying, people, I don't have a right to medical care? Of course not. You have a right to your life. You have a right to your liberty. You have a right to your fruits of your labor. You can take care of your medical care.
Well, Congressman, you've been a medical doctor for 40 years. I mean, you know better than anybody. You can go watch the full interview at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. A government big enough to give you anything you want is big enough to take it all away. And they do throughout history. You build a big government, you allow it to take people's wealth, it's going to take that wealth and give it to the most powerful interest that put the politicians in power. You, the average soccer mom or Joe Sixpack, aren't going to get any of that money. Or if you do, it's going to be $600, $700 a month, enough chicken feed just to make you dependent on the system. And that's the next phase in this. We've got half the population on some form of government assistance or getting a government paycheck or working for the government. That's the only area of the economy that's growing is the government. And it's getting more and more predatory every day. It's getting more and more oppressive each and every day. So we're going to be covering that. But a great example of the fact that the government cannot and will not protect you is a story out of USA Today. I'm going to play a clip from WKYC television out of this county in Ohio. Ohio official tells residents to arm themselves amid police cuts. When the sheriff department in Ashitubla County, Ohio, was cut from 112 to 49 deputies, just one vehicle was left to patrol the 720-square-mile country. That's how much bureaucracy they've got? There's 49 deputies and only one car? Another example of government. Ask what residents should do for protection. Common Pleas Judge Alfred Mackey replied, arm themselves, and added, we're going to have to look after each other. Area gun dealers and instructors told local television in Cleveland they had noticed an uptick in sales and interest in self-defense classes. Now, we are finally hearing the truth here. I have heard countless 911 calls. I know you've heard them, where the woman is saying, he's busting in, he's got a knife, he's got a gun, he's coming, he's killing me, help me. And the operator's saying, what's your address? Where are you, ma'am? 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 Ma'am, you hear the woman gargling blood. She's been stabbed. I mean, we could pull some of those clips up right now, but you've all heard them. The average 911 call takes more than 10 minutes. Some counties it's 15, some counties it's 5 or 6 minutes. But the point is, the police cannot protect you. And people always sue the police when they don't show up to a robbery or a rape or a murder and say, you didn't show up. And the courts always find the police are there to respond to a crime, to enforce law, and to carry out justice, to arrest the suspected perpetrators. It is not their job to protect you. And they have no liability and no responsibility to protect you. That's why it's so asinine in Chicago and New York and other big crime boss run cities that they have total gun bans for the citizens and they have the highest crime rates. Because the cops can't and won't protect you. It's just like any disaster, any earthquake, any hurricane, any problem, any robbery. You've got to protect yourself. Who protects Alex Jones? Alex Jones. Who should protect Joe Smith out there? Joe Smith. It's very elementary. Let's play a short clip from this newscast out of Ohio. And they're so amazed that the local authorities are telling the truth and saying, arm yourself, protect yourself. But the bigger issue here is the newscast reports people flooded gun shops and gun training facilities to get training with firearms because the cops told them, we can't protect you. The cops could never protect you. But because the authority figure tells you to go out and buy a gun, you flood out and get guns. I mean, I see these adults that send their wonderful, intelligent daughters and sons off to college where they get raped and killed because they never taught them how to defend themselves. All these women out there, I see these Brinks TV ads where some thug breaks in and the woman cowers with her kids and calls 911 and Brinks calls and the alarm runs him off. That's all fine and dandy. I think alarms are great to warn you somebody's breaking in and, yes, to alert the police. But in the meantime, all that's between you and that methamphetamine or PCP head is your Smith & Wesson. Here's the local news.
Tabula County are apparently taking the advice of their public officials to buy guns and learn how to use them. The county is facing huge cuts in law enforcement, and Channel 3's Dick Russ found that residents there are concerned about this.
Well, you know, over the month, the strength of the Sheriff's Department in Ashtabula County has been reduced by more than half because of budget cuts and the resulting layoffs. It's been suggested people will have to protect themselves, and many are doing just that.
When there's only one patrol car per shift for the entire county, and that's over 700 square miles, it may have been just a matter of time until Ashtabula County residents heard this advice.
Arm themselves, be very careful, and just be vigilant, because we're going to have to look after each other.
Gun dealers and firearms instructors in the county say their business has really picked up since the sheriff department layoff started.
As far as him telling you to arm yourselves and protect yourselves, you don't have any other option.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to ask the question, why are there 43 sheriffs but only one on duty? Because the rest is bureaucracy. And the other issue, taxes are way up, government's bigger than ever, Obama spent more money than all presidents before him combined. But all over the country, all the so-called services are shutting down because everything's going to the bankers. More than 10 states are on the verge of going bankrupt or have gone bankrupt, like California and Illinois. And federal money is coming in to prop them up. Federal money that came from the states to begin with. It's the same thing in Western Europe, the same thing in England. Gordon Brown, I will end take it or leave it public services. Labor manifesto centers on pledge to allow failing schools, hospitals, and police forces to be taken over by the federal government in England, which is even more bureaucracy, more taxes, more control. Same thing here in the United States. I saw a story just a few weeks ago in Alabama. A few weeks before that, I saw a story out of Schenectady, New York, with the headline. In fact, people won't believe it. Print, martial law, Schenectady, New York, MSNBC. And it said, the county that Schenectady's in, hundreds of thousands of people, we're asking Homeland Security to put U.S. Army on the streets because our police are so corrupt and have been caught dealing drugs and raping people. I mean, it's like War of the Worlds or Road Warrior or something. I mean, just complete collapse of society. And all over the nation, they're slashing fire, police, roads, Take Austin, Texas. They spend $150 million a year for the buses that less than 1% of Austin rides. And they spend $76 million a year in Austin on roads. And we have the head of the Department of Transportation in the New York Times 2 weeks ago saying, we are anti-car and are going to stop funding roads. The feds take your tax money, your gas tax money, and they say cars are the enemy. Again, microcosm where I live, $2.6 billion in the next 3 years if the city council passes it. They said they'd pass it last month. They haven't yet, thank God. Austin Energy announced $2.6 billion in taxes in the next 3 years on gas, propane, and, of course, on your electricity. That's more than the entire city budget every year over 3 years. Hundreds and hundreds of new taxes. While they don't fix the roads, everything shuts down, and they cut police. But notice this case in Ohio. They have 49 deputies. They cut from 112, and now they only have one per shift or three cops out of that number a day. Three cops on patrol in a 24-hour period, but they've got a giant jail full of people, and there's a huge government facility with 49 cops in it, but they're not for you. And guaranteed, those cops, when they are out on the road, they're not going to be responding to burglaries or car theft or robberies. They're going to be out there writing tickets, raising revenue, and the states have all been ordered to raise revenue. They've told state police, that was in AP last week, on Monday, don't give people the 5-mile-an-hour cushion. If the speed limit says 65 and they're going 70, give them a ticket. If the speed limit says 40 and they're going 41 miles an hour, give them a ticket. Squeeze everything out of these people. But don't arrest the illegals, sanctuary cities. Don't arrest them for drunk driving. Don't arrest them for no ID. Don't arrest them for unpaid parking tickets. But citizens, squeeze the daylights out of them. Why does the government want the illegals here? Why do they let them operate under a different set of rules? Because they're to drive down the wages and bankrupt the states, which is what the banks want. The banks, just like they don't want a farmer to ever pay their note, they want the house, they want the farm, they want your country, they want your society. Ohio official tells residents to arm themselves amid police cuts, one cop per shift in a county with over 100,000 people in it. One cop per shift for all those people. After all those years, you paid all that money. It's all gone to the bankers. Everything goes to them. Just like Nigeria or Argentina. We are being bankrupted like Iceland and Greece. It's happening. And there's always more money for the federal government. And then as the states implode, as the society falls apart, what's their answer? What do they say is going to happen? Don't worry. The government's going to nationalize everything. The car companies, energy, factories, businesses, the public schools, the public colleges, everything. And anybody who's got any money left or has a job or has a business or has a restaurant or has a hotel or has a car lot or has a construction company, your taxes are going to go up to over 80%. That's the announcement made in the last 2 years by the UN and the private consortium of banks. They're going to take everything you got and pump it offshore to them. And as the services get cut, they're going to hold the public hostage and say, you've got to pay more taxes or there'll be no police. You've got to pay more taxes or there'll be no schools. The federal budget tripled under Bush. Now under Obama, he spent more than Bush all the way back to George Washington. And suddenly there's no money because it's a black hole of debt designed to take down the society, designed to fully implode society. Okay, I'm going to take some calls right now in the next few segments. And then coming up, now here it is. Schenectady mayor considers options, martial law over police woes. This is out of the Capital Region News. Here's another one. NBC. I mean, you can't make this up. Here's another one. FCC advisor advocates state-run propaganda megaphone to counter alternative media. And what's in... Here's my article here. I've got the article here in my stack. What's in the Wall Street Journal? They admit what I've been telling you for over a decade. Almost all television, not just news, but almost all of the sitcoms and dramas you watch, I coined the term over a decade ago, propaganda placement. They are now giving it their own name. This is Wall Street Journal. What your TV is telling you to do is the headline. They call it behavior placement. And NBC says their new model will not be traditional advertising for product placement. Somebody pops a Budweiser, somebody pops a Coca-Cola, somebody pops a Pepsi, somebody walks out to their new Mustang and says, oh, I love my new Mustang, in a movie or a TV show. That was paid for by a corporation. Guess what NBC and others are announcing their new main focus of revenue is going to be? Because there's no economy left now for real advertising. Guess what it's going to be? It's already been this. I coined the term propaganda placement. They call it behavior placement. This is Wall Street Journal, April 7th. This came out 4 days ago. What your TV is telling you to do. NBC Universal shows are sending viewers signals to recycle, exercise, and eat right. Why? Because they're being paid by the federal government. And again, it sounds reasonable. The government wants to use your tax money to tell you what to eat, what to do, what to wear, but it sets the precedent. And that's only a small part of the messages. Bush was spending tens of billions a year on fake news and messages. Pro-vaccine, pro-Prozac, anti-homeschooler messages, anti-family messages, pro-police state messages, pro-toll road messages. It's already been going on for decades, folks. I discovered this more than 10 years ago because I read the federal purchase orders. But now the majority of what you see on big marquee television programs is all paid for by your tax money. And that's why you can't watch any show without an anti-Second Amendment message, a pro-open border message, a pro-banker bailout message. You are living in the greatest propaganda state the world has ever seen. We're going to go to break, come back. I'm going to take calls nonstop till the bottom of the hour. Then I'm going to get into this that I just mentioned, all the propaganda. And then mainstream news still throws it in your face what's happening, but spins it like it's a good thing. But now under government control, you won't even hear news like this because it'll all be approved. MSNBC, 800,000 dosages of kids H1N1 vaccine recalled. Here's a report out of topnews.us that's got a link to five government and university studies showing that H1N1 spread linked to seasonal flu shots. Well, that came out at the time. It was the regular seasonal flu shot that we noticed in the ingredients said it had attenuated H1N1. They were giving people the H1N1 in the shots. But record numbers of people in Europe, England, the United States, and Canada refused, because of us getting the word out and others, to take the flu shot. And so we had record low numbers of flu. And now I've got an article where the federal government says, oh my gosh, there's apathy about how dangerous viruses are. You better line up and roll up your sleeve and take the shots. So you're being conditioned, you're being brainwashed, and they're trying to set the precedent they did in Boston and Massachusetts and in New York State to make people take the shots forcibly when the shots are chemical and bioweapon cocktails on record. It's about eugenics and population reduction, and we have the government documents. That's coming up as well in the next hour. Stay with us. Your call straight ahead.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're live, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number two, wide open phones, 888-201-2244. Coming up, a ton of key news. as the establishment prepares to stage terror attacks and blame it on the Patriot movement. That's clearer than ever. We'll be breaking that down. CNN article equates Confederate soldiers to terrorists. That's actually in the headline. Our Confederates terrorist was the CNN headline. Let's go ahead now and talk to Chris in Tennessee. You're on the air, Chris. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, that electronic apparatus that FEMA has that can take over all communications. I'm going to tell you an example of. I'm not sure, of course, if that was what did this, but back during the talks in Congress about the bailout in 08 there. I was watching television, and I went to check out the weather, and just as I turned the channel to the weather, my cable automatically turned to C-SPAN, and I couldn't change the channel. It was the only channel that was working, and I'm curious as to if that happened all over the country. It happened for, they had it like that for maybe 10 minutes, I guess.
Well, they may have been testing the system, but it's the emergency alert system, and it doesn't dial in through the airwaves and take control. Through hubs in the internet and shortwave transmitters that tie into AM, FM, and broadcast TV, it dials in and then orders the EAS system, emergency alert system, to dial in to the connection they already have. And that was put in 1997. They'd had it since the Cold War, but it was voluntary, and you were meant at the station to dial in yourself. But now, under federal law, everything is wired through this. And now they want all devices, cell phones, computers, your televisions, everything, with this high-definition television and radio, it carries a carrier signal that's full of digital data. That's how now, with your new car stereos for the last few years, you can see the name of the band that's playing, if it's George Strait, and it will say the name of the song and the station, and then ads will scroll. Well, similarly, the government can then take over and put the messages it wants on your radio, on your TV. And so this is now being wired in and designed into all the electronic products. I appreciate your call, Chris. Let's talk to Todd in Washington. Todd, you're on the air.
Yeah, Alex, you're the best of the best, and I want to know if you're going to interview the black Secret Service agent who tried to save Kennedy's life.
What is his name? I think I've asked the guys back in the past. He was the Chicago Secret Service agent. And some of our experts have brought him up. What's his name?
Yeah, I forget, but he wrote a book, and JFK called him the Jackie Robinson of the Secret Service, and he said he was trying to protect the president from the Secret Service and that they had made comments that they wouldn't take a bullet for him and that they put him in some weird place like Chicago during Dallas.
Yeah, well, they wanted to kill him the week before in Chicago, and I have read that. I have talked to experts. That is true. I forget his name, but it would help us if you had his name, but I appreciate William Smith. Is it William
okay.
Smith?
Yeah, well, it's easy to get, and I just want to say you're as good as it gets, okay? And it's like you're the coolest, right? And I listen to you every day, and the 911 thing, it's a joke, right? It's like you can watch those buildings explode, and the way the tops come off, you know, they come down before the whole thing, right? And you see the one twist, and the other one, the tower comes
absolutely
down first,
it's incredible. It's like they blew Kennedy's head off in front of everybody, and we went along with that, so why not blow up a bunch of buildings and blame it on the Easter Bunny, Osama bin Laden? Herman, Dan, Scott, Bill, Sonny, Bass, Julio, Victor, your calls are straight ahead. On the other side of this one-minute break, please stay with us. Don't forget, we're premiering two new films this month.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this Sunday edition, the 11th day of April, 2010. We're also simulcasting the radio show in living video color at prisonplanet.tv. And I'll be premiering two new films, one, Invisible Empire, New World Order Defined. Thursday, the 15th, will strike a blow at the private bankers by exposing their invisible empire, their New World Order system that will premiere at prisonplanet.tv. For members, this Thursday, you can pre-order the DVD now. They start shipping out on Tuesday, so folks should be getting them in and around the 15th. And then the next week, on the 21st, we premiere Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, that conclusively proves the shadow government through NORTHCOM and Homeland Security is staging the terror attacks, has built FEMA camps, and is openly setting up a type of a soft martial law in this country. So check all that information out. These will be key salvos in the InfoWars up at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Okay, coming up, I want to briefly get into what happened with the top leadership of the Polish government dying yesterday when their aircraft crashed coming into Russia out of Poland. Give you my take on what's happening there. We will also get into this demonization of veterans, of the southern states, of anybody who isn't for Obamacare, as if they're racist and terrorist. Were Confederate soldiers terrorists is the CNN headline. And this is all part of the preparatory phase of listing the American people as terrorists. Here's another one. Corporate media connects Houthi militia to U.S. military and implies the military can't be trusted. In fact, I have a clip of that in Fall of the Republic, my last film, where the news is up there talking about how veterans are the number one threat to America. And how they're supposedly working with Al-Qaeda and how veterans are the biggest threat. See, once you're not working for the system oppressing the American people, you become persona non grata. Just like with Hitler, once Hitler fully came to power, he got rid of the brown shirts that helped bring him to power with purges. So that is coming up as well. But right now, let's talk to Herman in New York. You're on the air, Herman. Welcome.
Yes, hello, Alan. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, first thing I want to say is I'm definitely excited for your two new films. The trailers of the Police State 4 and Invisible Empire sent chills up my spine, so I'm definitely excited, and I pre-ordered my copy of
Thank
those.
You.
But you were talking about why is it that MSNBC would be allowing Dylan Radigan to be speaking pretty much the truth about the bankster scam. Pretty much what my take on it is, libertarianism is now getting popular, so they're pretty much testing the profitability of it. They're pretty much going for broke. They already know that they've lost all credibility, and they won't allow any big names like Bill O'Reilly or Beck to pretty much say the truth. I mean, they'll leak it here and there. They'll test the water. They'll dip their toe in the pool, but I don't think that they'll really ever let like the big guys like O'Reilly or Beck or anybody else.
You're right, and they do this to gain some flagging credibility that they're losing. And I mean, O'Reilly 7-8 years ago was a different person than he is today. He's for global carbon taxes. He's for VAT taxes. He's for all these wars. This is a guy 20 years ago when he had other TV programs exposing the New World Order, exposing government drug dealing. He's completely sold out. Great points, Herman. I appreciate your call. And I don't want to make this show about bashing Glenn Beck, but I have the video here in my stack. I have an article that was written for InfoWars.com about it on Wednesday, where Beck came out against net neutrality, and out of hundreds of foundations and corporate groups and universities and citizen groups, watchdog groups that filed briefs with the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, calling for continued net neutrality, one group is run by a Marxist. And so he gets up and says, Marxists are for net neutrality. I am against net neutrality. Well, what is net neutrality? That's saying if you buy, say, Time Warner, Roadrunner Cable, you get to visit any website you want. But with the end of net neutrality and what's being proposed, they will create a list of affiliated sites and sites that pay them so that you will be even allowed to get to sites you want to see. A great example of this is how Apple will not allow in the last 2 years for its iPhone to be used by Google phone. That's an example of not having net neutrality. And so they carve up the internet. The internet is the way it is and so great and so big and expansive because it is one big system, all interconnected. But the UN has said under Internet 2 plans, and England, by the way, just passed this 2 days ago. That's in my stack. I'm going to be getting to that. That's the problem with taking calls that bring up such important subjects. That's the type of bait and switch that we see here. Beck will sit there and tell the truth on most subjects, and then at key points, he'll betray you. And he'll say there are no FEMA camps when it's declassified they have FEMA camps. It's part of the Emergency Centers Act. Or he'll come out and say, Marxists are for net neutrality, therefore I am against it. He knows full well hundreds of groups have put filings in with the FCC. Probably thousands. What I saw a week ago was hundreds. You could put a filing in. In fact, the comment period doesn't end until April 26th. So I guess if NAMBLA, the North American Man Love Boy Association, degenerate, pus-filled maggots, I guess if they go and put a call in to keep net neutrality, Glenn Beck will say, look, the pedophiles want net neutrality. I mean, that's very deceptive straw men arguments. And I'm just sick of seeing that type of deception. Let's go back to your calls. Let's talk to Dan in Pennsylvania. Dan, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. Kudos to you and Jason and all the crew there. This is for the CPS, a solution for the CPS, because I've been in front of the CPS, judge, police, everything. I was always able to just send them packing real easily, even in front of court and everything. But in the end, my ex was quite not a very nice person, and alienated the children from me, but at least I have all the evidence to show that they were alienated.
Okay, how were you successful with the CPS? Go ahead.
I still have it. I have journals for 4 years, okay, taping everything that my ex-wife said, basically, and writing it down, showing proof that she was the way that she was. And they would come in and they would just be blown away by it, basically get all the letters properly for me because, I'm telling you, it worked for CPS, for court, police, everything.
No, I agree. That's why everybody needs to have digital audio and video recorders. And now most cell phones have free apps where you can just record in high quality. And anytime I go in government buildings, anytime I'm around cops, I'm just recording. Any time that I need to protect myself, I am recording, and that is the way to go. And you start recording these people, they run like roaches. I appreciate your call. We're going to go to break here in a moment. I'm going to come back with Scott and Bill and Sonny and many others that are patiently holding. And then I'm going to get into the censorship of the internet that is developing and unfolding now, and how governments in league with private corporations and the mainstream media are pushing to restrict free speech in this nation. Because the mainstream media is being killed by the internet, by the diversity, by the real reporting, by all the ideas, by the information. They cannot compete. They've lost all credibility. People don't trust them anymore. And so you have this dangerous, perfect storm that is unfolding, that is developing, where you've got government that's being discredited by the internet, the people having a voice. You've got the old dinosaur media, the newspapers, the TV that are being threatened by it. And so they've all have a very serious motive and reason to want to start shutting down the web as we know it and curtailing it. And so that is now happening. That is now developing. They're openly saying they're doing this, and they won't get away with it if you're aware of it, but they're doing it incrementally, so you're not aware of it. They're doing it all in the name of safety. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay with us.
Oh, oppression, you prey on us when we sleep. Oppression.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. Tired. All right, let's continue with your phone calls, and I'm going to get into a big news blitz in the next segment. Let's talk to Scott in Washington. Scott, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have a question and then I have an observation I wanted to make. The question is, and I've heard you mention this before, what was the name of that study that they had done in the 80s where you said that they concluded that almost none of the tax money went towards any of the social programs or the infrastructure?
That was a congressional study in 1981, and Ronald Reagan quoted it in office saying not one red cent of the income tax money goes to run the country. But I can't, it's like asking me a first cousin's name. I would know it if you didn't ask me. But it's something commission, but it was a congressional commission that found that we didn't have the income tax till 1913. Most Americans didn't pay it until the mid 50s. And it's just extremely draconian. And it all goes, look, we got the income tax the same year we got the private Federal Reserve. It's there to pay the banks for the country to have the right to issue money, making money God instead of money being a symbol of a mode of exchange. It was the Grace Commission report. Thank you.
Commission. Yeah, I was trying to search engine it, but I couldn't remember the name. But anyway, and the second thing I wanted to get
to. I got a good crew, don't I? They found it in about 1 minute.
Yeah, good looking out. The second thing I wanted to mention was that MSNBC, that Radican clip, you know, it might have been one of those things like you, like in the newspaper where the good news is buried somewhere in column B or something.
Yeah, but
like
he keeps doing this. I mean, I played a clip a month ago where he said $23.7 trillion has been stolen. Now, that number's 8 months old, but still, he reported $23.7 and explained that the $787 billion is a rotating open window and only one of three ways the private banks are looting us. I mean, every week I see Radigan. He really is impressing me.
Is it one of those shows that airs like in the daytime where everybody sees it, or is it one of those things that are late at night where no one's paying attention? I'm just kind of curious.
It's during the day.
Oh, it is during the day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it could be.
But, I mean, look, Ron Paul won the CPAC straw poll. He almost beat Mitt Romney, second place, 1 point away. And Ron Paul talks about global government, new world order, private banks robbing us. This message is becoming very popular. That's why the system's scared and is going to stage some terror attacks to blame it on us. You watch.
Yeah. Or it could be that people are just not paying attention and that they decide to be honest with the truth about it. But, you know, people are so dumbed down that... You know, that just, it goes right over their head. I mean, I don't know, but, you know, it's good as
well,
it's out there.
I hear you, Scott, but it also shows that the truth is breaking through. I mean, look, I'm now on XM 6 days a week instead of just Saturdays, where they would re-air 3 hours of the Friday show. I'm now on only 1 hour, Monday through Friday, but they're talking about going to 2 or 3 hours as soon as they can find the space because they're getting a response. And I've talked to radio executives, I'll just leave it at that, who've contacted me. And years ago, they'd say, look, you've got a lot of talent, you're a smart guy, you could be the next Rush Limbaugh. They were trying to get me to be the next Glenn Beck before Glenn Beck came along in 2002. But they said, no New World Order, no black helicopters, no Federal Reserve. That's a quote. And I've heard that repeatedly from these guys, different groups. Low-level execs, high-level execs. Now these executives call me and they say, well, do you think we're going to have full martial law? Do you think I should leave the country? You're absolutely right about all this. We're just trying to figure out how to get you on more. So they've gone from thinking I'm a kook, because the average radio exec isn't some New World Order operative. They're just told what to do from the executives above them. And they realize what's happening. Look, the message is getting out there. I mean, we're gaining 3 affiliates on average a week. We're gaining 3, and these are big radio stations. These are in major cities. I mean, this show is exploding. It's quite frankly scary, the level of responsibility I've got now to try to, you know, really be focused and do a first-rate job. And it's not that I'm even that good of a radio talk show host. It's just I know my facts, and I've been right all along, and we have a lot of credibility because we've been right, because we're reading the globalist owned documents here. Let's talk to Bill in Maryland. Bill, you're on the air.
Alex, it's a pleasure, sir. First, I want to say your crew is amazing. I can't tell you how many times you've named an article, and they pulled it up within 10 seconds of you naming it. It's amazing.
We need some canned laughter. Or clapping.
Well, you brought up Glenn Beck, and the day that you played the clip of him on the O'Reilly show talking about the value-added tax, he was on his TV show talking about Volcker making the statement about the tax and how bad it was. So there he goes flip-flopping again.
Well, that's what's incredible is that I've probably heard him 20 times call for sales taxes and VATs, which the private central banks want to rob even more of our money. Our money doesn't go to welfare moms. It doesn't go. It goes to the bankers. We're paying more taxes, and they're firing half the police in major departments. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. Go ahead. And again, I don't want to bash Beck. I don't want to bash Beck.
You're ranting probably some of your best stuff.
He's a snake in the grass. I'm sick of him. Go ahead.
I wanted to know if you saw, did you see Rick Perry is going to sponsor a NASCAR in the Texas race coming up? Spent $225,000 to sponsor a NASCAR.
Well, probably a good marketing trick.
It probably is. I'd love it if you could get into it, because you know that the response from sponsorships is huge.
Well, listen, we reach a lot of people, but I don't have that kind of money.
Sure you don't, and it's probably never going to happen, but it'd be awesome if it could. But my actual point was, I don't know if you saw or not, but Phil Berg announced that his birth certificate march on D.C. is going to be May 29th, I think noon to 4.
Guys, will you bring that Barry Sitaro? Fantastic. We'll get him back on, Bill. I appreciate your call. Bring me the Barry Sitaro T-shirt in. And yes, when you purchase the ball caps and the T-shirts and the videos, it financially supports us. We don't have the federal government, the New World Order funding us like a lot of these other talk show hosts. It is you, the listeners, that fund us. But the main reason I commissioned this T-shirt that I'm about to show TV viewers, if you want to see it, go to InfoWars.com if you're a radio listener, is because his real name is Barry Sitaro. That was even in Newsweek. A few days ago, I saw an online article. He became an Indonesian citizen, and under federal law, that makes him ineligible to be president. And clearly, he was born in Kenya. It's all true. The guy's a fraud. But he should be impeached right now for becoming the head of the UN Security Council. That violates Article 9, Section 1. In fact, that's covered in Fall of the Republic. President Obama has brazenly violated Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution by seating himself at the head of the United Nations Security Council, thus becoming the first U.S. president to chair the world body. But we know he gave up his U.S. citizenship, was adopted, and became an Indonesian citizen. That's all true. That's not a conspiracy theory. Hence the T-shirt, Barry Sitaro, big photo, White House photo of Barack Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sitaro, a.k.a. Barack, where's the birth certificate? Infowars.com. And you want to get people to stop you on the street and say, that's Barack Obama. Why does it say Barry Sitaro? And then you can explain to him his real name. Everything about this government's a fraud. T-shirts available at Infowars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. We'll be right back with your calls. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I'm going to take a few more calls because I haven't taken a lot of calls today, and I've been all over the map, and I got a bunch of news I want to get to here in a moment, but we're going to run through some of your calls, but please have your point or question ready quickly because I want to get to the next person or we'll never get to anybody. But I don't just get up here and say he was clearly born in Kenya. I don't just get up here and say he's an Indonesian citizen. His real name is Barry Sitaro, and that makes him ineligible to be president. I just tell the truth. And people who are hearing this who may not believe it, go look at the evidence. Go look at the information. I mean, it's in major newspapers. We've known this for 2 years, but now it's finally in major papers, but they're spinning it. Okay, his real name's Barry Sitaro, and he was an Indonesian citizen. And they ignore that the federal law at the time, they didn't change it until a few years ago, said that if you gave up your U.S. citizenship, you could never come back to the U.S. and run for any office. There were only a few countries back at the time, what Israel and England, that you could do that. But here is his wife, 2 weeks ago, at a big televised event on C-SPAN, a gay and lesbian event, talking about Barack Obama and his home country of Kenya. This is Taro, a.k.a. Michelle Obama, the First Lady, saying he is from Kenya. Here's the video.
HIV testing, which is still plaguing so many of our communities, which you all know a lot of that is due to homophobia. Barack has led by example. When we took our trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya, we took a public HIV test for the very point of showing folks in Kenya that there is nothing to be embarrassed about in getting tested. And we did it as a couple.
Okay. His home country of Kenya. Schwarzenegger's home country is Austria. Graz is the town he's from. Obama's grandmother says he was born there. They have a receipt of a birth certificate, not the original. Not the bluish white paper one. And I have my original. You have your original. Why won't they show it? But regardless, he became the head of the UN Security Council. That's illegal. That's a felony in front of everyone. They're setting the precedent to violate the Bill of Rights and Constitution. All right, let's run through a bunch of calls. Stephen in Canada, you're on the air. Welcome. Okay, hello? Stephen. Yeah, go ahead, Stephen.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm worldwide broadcasting. Good to talk to you.
Great. It's good to talk to you again. Good to talk to you. I'm psyched about your movies that are coming out right away here.
Yes, sir.
Those should be awesome. I'll be waiting to watch those. And just a quick sidebar. I know you talk a lot about the States, and I know you're in the States, but do you have anything new about Canada?
Well, I mean, Canada's turning into a total police state. It's run by the same people. Your parliament twice in the last 3 years has been suspended by your governor general, showing the queen runs your country. I mean, it's incredible, Steve.
Yeah, because, like, there's a lot of, I shouldn't say mainstream, but there's a lot of stuff that you can find online about the States, but it's very hard to find anything to do with Canada, I find.
I don't know. I see a lot of news. I appreciate your call, Stephen. Jeff in Canada, another call from Canada. You're on the air.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. I love your show. Longtime listener, PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber. I'm planning to premiere The Invisible Empire at my house on this coming Friday, and then Police State 4 the following Friday, and I can't wait. I have one comment, and then I have a quick question for you. First, I think you should rename your show to the Alex Jones from the Alex Jones Show to the Alex Jones University, because you're giving us all a PhD in liberty and freedom and a master's degree in New World Order and tyranny. And I just wanted to say that the only tuition is the on the honor system, and I'd encourage your listeners to pay the tuition by supporting your operation and purchase your films and subscribe to PrisonPlanet.tv. It's worth every penny.
Well, Jeff, you're awesome. We couldn't have done any of this without you, the listeners, and you're awesome, and we love you, and we appreciate your support. But what we really appreciate is listeners getting the books, the documentaries, the material, and making copies, having viewing parties, showing it to folks. I went to Founder Day in Dripping Springs. It's a fair for the founding of a little town outside Austin last night, and I went to the carnival there with my wife and three children. And instead of four or five people coming up to me, I had 20 or 30 come up. And I saw two people wearing our T-shirts and just such wonderful people. And I can get off an airplane in Canada. I can get off an airplane in D.C. or Florida, anywhere, and run into listeners. And that shows me the impact we're having. And it's because of people like you, Jeff. God bless you. Let's talk to Sonny in Ohio. Sonny, you're on the air.
Yes, Alex, I just wanted to thank you for everything you do about putting information out there for us to consume. My Tea Party that I run here in Springboro, Ohio, is one of the few that is pushing the awareness of the New World Order. We have actually several of your DVDs ready to distribute. Some of the meetings that we had, we made sure everybody walked out with a copy of Fall of the Republic as well as Camp FEMA. Real quick, I know the movie's coming out next week. How can we find out the exact location of FEMA camps? I found a few websites that list some of it briefly, such as there's one outside of Lima, Ohio. But, of course, Google, you can't find it, Google Earth, but they probably Photoshopped some of that out. And
well, Google does blur national security sites. Look, we have the National Emergency Centers Act. The film covers it all. We're building an online bibliography for it right now, a Police State 4 site. We have the civilian inmate labor camp program. We have the Rex 84 documents. And they say that they can use any old military base and that they're designated. They also talk about using sports stadiums. They can turn anything into a FEMA camp. So it's the program where they're prepared and ready for this. And that's why there were so many rumors about FEMA camps, so much disinformation on both sides, that we made the rise of FEMA, Police State 4, the rise of FEMA, because it puts all those questions to rest. It's all documented.
Well, we're definitely covering the Sotaro issue. We're going to be covering that extensively, as well as I have noticed I've talked to a lot of church people who are actually starting to become receptive about talking about the New World Order. They're not shunning it anymore.
Well, they shouldn't shun it. I mean, literally, when they had the G20 last year, I Googled under news, New World Order, and there were 2,300 news articles that day. Okay, I mean, you put New World Order in any random day, there's 30, 40 new articles, top newspapers calling for an authoritarian world government for our own good, run by private banks. The denial's over. And people need to realize, sitting on the bench, not having respect for themselves, not believing in themselves to take action, is going to allow this to come to fruition. I appreciate your call. Very, very exciting to hear that going on. But, Sonny, it was the Ron Paul campaign in 2007 that was the genesis of the real Tea Parties. Then they created Tea Party Nation, run by the RNC and Fox. They've come in to try to take it over. So you are not one of the few Tea Parties out there that's doing this. God bless you. You're not alone. In fact, there's news articles every day about the battle for the heart and soul of the Tea Party. Look at Kentucky, how Rand Paul is 10 points ahead, the Republican and the Democrat, roughly. Some polls higher, some polls lower. This is an anti-incumbency that's going on. Let's talk to David in Arkansas. David, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex, it's wonderful to talk with you again.
Wonderful to talk to you. What's on your mind?
Well, I want to say I'm also a Prison Planet subscriber, and I'm looking forward to being able to deploy these new films out into my area in mass. I've got three quick points. I'm just going to get through this real quick so you can get to some more callers. Vaccines. My best friend was murdered by Big Pharma by one of those slow kill weapons, and I have to call it slow kill because there's nothing soft about 4 decades worth of pain and suffering at the hands of your own immune system.
No, it's just the Pentagon calls it soft kill, but you know, there's nothing soft about it. Slow, grueling murder. Go ahead and finish your point.
My second point is about these protests coming up and these on marches. It just scares the hell out of me about these provocateurs.
Tell you what, David, stay there. I don't want to cut you off. And my next issue is the provocateurs straight ahead. So we're going to be covering that on the other side. Then we'll get into all of the vaccine danger news that's even in the mainstream media. Straight ahead. Stay with us. Okay, last week we covered articles written by some of the biggest anarchist groups in the country who are clearly Fed-run, calling for instigating violence, attacking the Tea Parties to demonize them. And there's a story here out of the Charleston City paper. Anarchy in the Tea Party, Obama's thugs to stir up trouble at tax day rallies. And then they quote our article and then link two actual Tea Party, anti-Tea Party sites. And here's one. It says about us, who we are. And this is a group called Crash the Tea Party. And it said, wherever possible, we will act on behalf of the Tea Party in ways which exaggerate their least appealing qualities, misspelled protest signs, wild claims in TV interviews, etc., to further distance them from mainstream America and damage the public's opinion of them. We will also use inside information that we have gained in order to disrupt and derail their plans. So we've already seen this over and over again. This is what they do. And the feds all over the world, federal governments, use these groups they bus in to knock over trash cans, bash out windows, attack cops. A lot of times it comes out, in the case of Denver, the DNC, it's cops dressed up as anarchists doing it. That's the Denver Post. This is just outrageous. So, David, you wanted to finish your point on that subject. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also have one other thing, actually, is maybe the breaking news about the IRS snooping. But back to that, yeah, there's people talking about armed marches, and that's kind of scary because I'm all for the Second Amendment. I love my guns, but you know, I really think
that... Yeah, most of that's provocateur. The system wants to have a confrontation. Go ahead.
Well, bring the video cameras, you know, the digipens, you know, just video cameras out in the open. They're not afraid of our guns. They're afraid of our video cameras. We need to find individual ways, you know, that aren't organized to protest, get the films out, you know, talk to people in the community, participate in the national strike at tax15.com. It's a wonderful idea. My second point, actually, my third point is about the IRS. I was setting up a website to actually attack the left paradigm and do some of this. But before I'd had any traffic, I'd had a hit from a site, fishmongers.com, P-H-I-S-H, mongers.com. You can search that in Google.
Okay, we got to move quick. Got to move quick. Go ahead.
Yeah, along with the keyword IRS, they are involved with the IRS. It looks like this is an attempt at the IRS to go around and data mine everybody's websites and snoop on them.
Sure, they use third parties. I appreciate your call. The IRS has announced they're giving people 15 to 30% of the money that's collected when they rat on people. And then, of course, make stuff up. We're turning into a snitch society. Sorry to cut you off. Just I've got to hurry here to be able to get to all this news. Speaking of setting up the tea parties, we've had all the George Soros publications, Huffington Post, Media Matters attack me and say I'm calling for violence when it's the opposite. We've had national news demonizing the tea party, saying they're racist, running false flags where they claim the black congressional caucus got called the N-word. The videos got released. No one called them that. No one spit on them. So there's a clear attempt to demonize the Tea Parties, and now they're expanding it. CNN, we're Confederate soldiers terrorists. And they talk about this governor that put a proclamation out about the dead Confederate soldiers. I've read the history, the real history. The Civil War was about states' rights, had nothing to do with slavery. But they think you're ignorant, and they want to bring slavery back up and get everybody fighting with each other and then try to tie slavery in with the Tea Parties to demonize the 10th Amendment movement that's happening now by the states against the federal government taking over society. Here's another article. 33 states out of money to fund jobless benefits. CNN money. Where is it going to come from? Taxpayers. To the feds, and then more money will come in. As they cut the state benefits, as they cut the state infrastructures, all the money goes to pay to the central banks. Here's another one. CNN article equates Confederate soldiers with terrorists. That's from Infowars.com. Here's another one. Corporate media connects Hatari militia to U.S. military. And I'm not going to have time, but I'm sure most of you have heard it. It's only about 40 seconds long. It's up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And it's the audio recording of the leader of the Hatari militia saying, yeah, the government's gotten too big. They're tyrannical. They're going to attack us, and we're going to have to stand up and fight them. I mean, Americans talk like that all the time. That's in the Declaration of Independence. You know, I'm afraid this is going to come to blows. You hear that all the time. You hear that from politicians. That's what they played in court this week to hold them. That's their best evidence. I mean, that is very, very scary that they're, again, out there provocateuring and setting groups up to do things like this. I mean, are they going to arrest Jesse Ventura because the title of his book is Don't Start the Revolution Without Me? I mean, are they going to arrest me because I've read the Declaration of Independence on air? I mean, look, you've got a revolution by offshore banks coming in and overthrowing our legitimate form of government. We're restorationists that are trying to get our country back, and we're starting to win peacefully in all the polls and all the numbers. We're going to take this country back. We're educating the Democrats. We're educating the Republicans. The left-right paradigm is imploding. So the system is going to stage provocateur events. They're going to come to tea parties with N-word signs. We've already caught them. To make us look bad. They're going to do these type of dirty tricks. Just like the Denver Post reported, Democratic Party officials got caught attacking their own DNC, but that never got in the news outside of Denver. They're caught over and over again running these different types of false flags. Now, shifting gears again, give me a document cam shot on this, boys, for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. This is without even looking. I noticed that just in articles I printed this weekend that I wanted to cover, without even looking, I ran into these articles. And then I hear these radio talk show hosts who were doctors and other people saying there's nothing wrong with the flu shots. There's no mercury in them. It didn't hurt you. There's never a problem with vaccines. And every day I see four or five articles with vaccines killing and maiming people. 800,000 dosages of kids H1N1 vaccine recalled. Tests show the shots may be, and it goes on from that. It came out that a bunch of other vaccines were filled with this pig cancer virus that can give you cancer. Here's an article, H1N1 spread linked to seasonal flu shots. And this article has five different government studies in Canada and university studies showing that it was the H1N1 cases were caused by people taking the regular seasonal flu shot. But I remember reading what was in the regular seasonal. It had H1N1 attenuated virus in it. Record numbers of people got smart this last year and this year and didn't take the H1N1 shot or the seasonal flu because they learned how dangerous it was. And so we had record low flu season in Europe and the United States. And again, they say four in this article, but there's five when I read it. The four new studies concluded by Canadian researchers conclude that the traditional seasonal flu vaccine seems to have boosted the risk of infection with pandemic H1N1 swine flu by almost double. In one study, the researchers revealed the ongoing sentinel monitoring system, that's a government monitoring system, in order to assess the frequency of prior vaccination with the seasonal flu vaccine in people suffering from H1N1 swine flu in 2009 compared to people without swine flu. The study discovered that seasonal flu vaccination was linked with a 68% boost in risk of falling prey to the swine flu. I don't think they did the best they could with the data they had, said Dr. Mark Loeb, an infectious disease expert at Manchester University in Hamilton, who was not part of the study and who seems to be skeptical about the study's conclusions. The studies published April 6th in the Online Journal of Medicine attributed the combination of over 40 researchers, including many of Canada's top influenza experts. The data is reported to be fetched from four studies that draw cases from British Columbia, Alberta, Ontario, and Quebec. You have record numbers of people not taking the flu vaccine, and you get record low numbers of people not getting flu, but then people that do take the regular seasonal flu, they get record numbers of those individuals getting the flu. And the same thing was found in Europe. The same thing was found in China. Here's another one. Times of India. China vaccine scare revives product safety fears. And then it goes into all the people getting killed and maimed from the vaccines over there. Feds found Pfizer too big to nail. This is from CNN. And it says Pfizer knew that, it says internal documents show that Bextera and the new drug that they put out, this painkiller in 2005, that they knew in 2001 that it did cause people to have massive heart attacks, but they covered it up. And then it has federal documents in here saying they're too big. It will discredit the medical system. We can't prosecute Pfizer for this. I start getting frustrated here at the end because we're just out of time, and I didn't even get to all the internet censorship being announced, the federal government to put more propaganda messages in TV, calling it behavior placement. FCC advisor advocates state-run propaganda megaphone to counter alternative media. It's incredible. God bless you all.